Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, to look at the Criterion Collection one spine number at a time. This is episode 48, so we're going to take a look at spine number 48, and that is Marcel Campos' 1959 film, Black Orpheus. Just so you know, I will spoil this film left and right. We'll spoil every film left and right, so just proceed with caution and make sure you watch the film before listening, or just be careful, because I will talk about everything and anything. So let's get into the plot. The plot is basically this girl named Eurydice comes in. She's played by Marpessa Dawn, I think. She comes into town, Rio de Janeiro, and it feels like she's running away from something. She goes to hide with her cousin, Serafina, played by Leah Garcia. And, she comes in, goes on the trolley, where she goes to the end of the line and first meets Orpheus. These are our two main characters, Eurydice and Orpheus, who are named after the Greek gods, I think, or Greek characters. So we meet Orpheus as well. Eurydice goes off to her cousin, and we stay with Orpheus for a bit. We see that he is engaged to a very high-maintenance, crazy woman named Mira, played by Lourdes de Oliveira. Sorry for the pronunciation. And, yeah, they're not happy together. It's obvious. She is begging him. He gets his paycheck. He leaves work at the trolley station. And he gets his paycheck. She begs him to buy a ring. And he says, nah, I'm just going to buy my guitar. Pretty funny to me. So then, kind of, a bunch of stuff happens, and Eurydice and Orpheus meet again. They kind of start falling in love. Then it ends up this man in a costume. In the film, it's a man in a costume, and he is familiar to Eurydice, and she runs away. Orpheus saves her, kind of like fights the guy. And that's when they kind of start to fall in love. But, you know, he's married to, or he's engaged to Mira. And, yeah. So, it gets to the big carnival. It's called Carnival. It's just this giant celebration, kind of like, what's that thing in New Orleans? I can't think of the name right now, but it's just a giant celebration. And I guess Orpheus and Mira and Serafina are like the three main, they're the leaders, I guess. So they're all dancing. Serafina wants to be with her fiance or boyfriend or whatever. So I guess Eurydice puts on her costume. So then gets to spend time with Orpheus. In this scene, Death and Mira both chase down Eurydice, and this is where she goes on top of something. She runs away from the party, like, she's right by electrical wires. In an attempt to see her, Orpheus turns on the lights, which shocks her and kills her, actually, and Orpheus is knocked out. He wakes up, wanders around, and then tries to find her, realizes she's dead, and kind of loses hope. Finds her, goes to a religious place first and hears her voice, then finds her body, is then killed by Mira. It's the morning. He goes up to the hill to where they live, Aerith throws a rock at his head, and they both die, laying next to each other in a bush. So yeah, that's the plot of this movie, the entire plot. But yeah, let's get into some themes. So the movie opens abruptly with a ton of music, and what I think I saw in the film is that the music is a sign of hope. It opens with music. Eurydice is leaving, is like running away from what I assume is death. The character who is chasing her is referred to as death, and is chasing her. She's out of there. She's out of danger for the moment. And I think that brings her hope and why the music is so loud. It gets a little over loud. She still seems very worried, maybe too safe. In the beginning, it's just overpowering. This is just a day or so before Carnival. But yeah, music comes back the entire film. At the Carnival is when the music is also extremely loud. And Orpheus and Eurydice are bonding a lot, and that's when it just gets overly loud because it's so hopeful, it's so happy. But right when Eurydice runs away is when the music is very quiet, and the scene where she dies, there's almost no music at all, even though they're right by the celebration. Other times, as they are before Carnival, as they are falling in love, Orpheus sings, pulls out his guitar and sings. At one point, he convinces two kids that he makes the sun rise with his music, and so the kids wake up early and run to his house as the sun is about to rise, and then he starts playing. So it's literally like tomorrow is another day, music is here, and hope is here as well, because every day is a new day. And I love that. It's fantastic. And then it's crazy. You hear music so much after Eurydice is dead, you don't hear it at all, and it's jarring how long we go with no music. And it's sad. You like it really convinces you that there's no hope in this moment, in these moments. It's very depressing almost to hear no music. It even shows parts where the partygoers are being arrested because they got too rowdy. As we said, the music was building and building and building and building, and it just got too far, just went too far, and now people are getting arrested for being probably too drunk and definitely, like, destructive. And then a brilliant, like, one of my favorite scenes, the first time I watched it, didn't really get the scene, but now he goes into, like, a church area, some religious place, and they make him pray. And this is where we haven't heard music for a long time, and then all of a sudden it's a little more, there's some more music, and then it just gets louder and louder as he prays, and then gets to hear Eurydice's voice, like, through another person, and she has this goodbye, and it's pretty emotional. And he just wants to see her again, but she's like, no, I'm gone. You have to move on. So then he goes and finds the body, and then eventually is accidentally murdered by his fiance. Hits him in the head with a rock, and they roll down the hill, and die together in the bushes. But this is right before sunset, so the children, throughout the film, they grab his guitar, and one of the kids is like, you gotta play it, you gotta play it to make the sun rise, and he does, and the sun rises, and they believe they did it, but it's a very sad ending, but that little part with the kids, makes it a little more hopeful. Like, okay, these kids are gonna move on. Maybe they won't make the same mistakes, which I'll get into because, again, the first time I watched this movie, I did not know why Death was trying to kill these two for just being in love. But then I realized this time around, watched it a long time ago, but this time around I'm like, oh wait, Orpheus is engaged to Mira, but he's technically cheating on her with Eurydice. And that's probably why Death is following them around, is torturing Orpheus, is murdering Eurydice, because it also hint the movie also hints that she did Eurydice did something wrong in her past, and that's why she's running away from Death. I feel like Death is a character in this movie that is terrifying, but is giving you what he thinks you deserve because you did something wrong. Because they're doing something wrong the entire film. It's happy. You kind of feel happy with them. You feel like they are in love, but then, nevertheless, it must not. It's not right. That's kind of what the film is saying, and yeah, it uses music to say how good it is, how bad it is, and how wrong our characters are for doing this, even though they are happy, which they seem to not have been the entire time. Yeah, so those are the themes I saw. Let me just get to what I thought about it overall. I thought the performances were very natural. I guess I read that these are mostly non-actors. Orpheus, the man who played Orpheus, Breno Mello, he is just a soccer player who probably just knew how to play guitar. And I think the direction makes it very, just makes it feel very natural. There is a certain sense of theatricality to it. They are based off Greek gods, or Greek characters. I'm not sure if they're gods or not, but the movie is very aware of it. They say why Mira is so jealous of Eurydice right away is because someone has told her that her fiance's name is Orpheus, and Orpheus fell in love with Eurydice. So it's also kind of humorous, has a humor about itself that they would probably fall in love because of their name, because of the tale, the Greek tale. And yeah, I like that about it. It's funny, it's about itself. Also, very good visual storytelling. Music, this movie is all about music, like I said, and the scene where Orpheus gets his guitar, it's a little strange because he's getting it from like a pawn shop. Someone fixed it, and some guy comes, puts an umbrella to kind of make it seem like, I'm trying to describe it, but it's kind of like he's jailing, putting the guitar in a jail, because these umbrellas symbol the bars. They put one umbrella, and then another one, and then another one, and then I think one more, and so it looks like, visually, it looks like the guitar is going to be behind bars, but before anyone puts another one, someone grabs the guitar and frees the music. Kind of like how Orpheus feels he wants to be treated in the relationship with Myra. Myra is the bars, the umbrellas, and he just wants to escape. And then after that, the guitar is passed along over everyone's head, kind of like music reigns supreme in this film. Music is going to be a big part, showing that having people literally carry it like a sports player that won the game, carrying it along, and giving it to Orpheus. Yeah, so visually, there's a lot going on. I think it's very, very beautiful visually, and there's stuff like that sprinkled throughout, but yeah, it's very good. And then, of course, music is a big part, but sometimes Orpheus just sings what's going on or how he's feeling, and I love that. This time around, it's almost like it's a musical, but it just hid a hidden musical because he only sings a few times, and all that carnival stuff is crazy and claustrophobic at times. I think it's supposed to feel that way. The first scene, everyone's dancing and trying to get Eurydice to buy her to get her to buy stuff, and it's kind of claustrophobic, and then the carnival's kind of claustrophobic, but of course it builds to that. It's fun and exciting, and then gets a little overwhelming, and that is very good. Yeah, obviously I love this film. Definitely one of my favorites so far, and yeah, very exciting. Loved it the first time I saw it. Love it even more now. I love the tragedy of Orpheus being the one to kill Eurydice, and just so he was just trying to save her, and then he kills her. That's crazy to me. I think it's a very effective movie. I think it's very is very good. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so I guess that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at The Criterionist. Listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds. I co-host that with my friend Andrew. Don't know what we are doing this week because I'm recording this in advance, but yeah, very, very fun. Go listen to that. Rosebuds being one word. Review it on iTunes or this podcast on iTunes. Give it whatever stars you want. If you don't like it, give it one. If you do love it, give it five. I just like to know what you think. And yeah, visit my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.wordpress.com. That's schmuck F-O-R life. And yeah, next time is, I think, Fellini. And it's Knights of Cabaret, Cabiria, I think, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, that's the next episode, and I am excited. I have not seen it, and I am excited to. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.